So just first brief notes. Probably, because I don't know how fast we're going to go with this group. Probably it's going to be more frontal than I usually am teaching-wise. But since there are two goals, one is to raise lots of questions, and the other is to make you want to learn with me more. So please write down any questions we have to fast forward through during the share and email them to me, and that way we'll have the conversation. Also, because for many of you, it's the first or second time hearing me, so I will try to be entertaining. But don't assume that I ordinarily am. I figured I would start safely by talking about a minor topic. I want to raise questions about the nature and the relationship between psak and truth and authority, which are all big questions, but I don't want to be controversial, so we'll do them in a safe topic like Safek Avodah Zarah and things like that. Nobody really cares about it, as opposed to important issues that matter, like, you know, the kashrus of restaurants and things like that. I guess we're going to start with a topic that probably... probably none of you have ever thought of this as a major halachic topic, and I confess that before I ran across this tshuva Rav Moshe, I had never thought of this as a halachic topic, and Rav Moshe tells you that until he wrote this tshuva, he never thought of it as a halachic topic, and he just created a whole new iser. It's really cool, it's very exciting. There are all sorts of ways in which you can react to new iserim. My attitude toward this has been somewhat influenced by my 11th grade Rebbe, who came in one day, all excited because his son's in Lakewood, had discovered a new chumrah that strawberries apparently have bugs on them that look just like strawberry seeds. And so the only way to eat strawberries was to power wash them, which unfortunately sort of pulps them also. But he said he was so excited about this new chumrah that he went out to celebrate by buying a strawberry milkshake, which probably wasn't as funny as it sounds because strawberry milkshakes have no real strawberries on them in the air. But so you may all decide to celebrate this new chumrah I'm about to teach you by going out and doing exactly what Rav Moshe says is usher. I don't recommend it necessarily. But one of the goals I want to have you think about is, under what circumstances would you think that a much lesser posek than Rav Moshe could paskin against Rav Moshe? Right, what are your intellectual standards? Yes?
Find a different source that contradicts him explicitly.
Well, let's see. But I could find a greater posek than Rav Moshe, a greater contemporary posek than Rav Moshe, so then I'm just saying, okay, you know what, I think Rav Avadia matches Rav Moshe. Let's suppose it's just me and Rav Moshe. Okay. Or just you and Rav Moshe. Do you have a source sheet?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your name?
Talia.
I suppose all you have is an argument. Okay. So I'm going to make an argument. I'm going to make the argument that this tshuva of Moshe is built on a series of assumptions, and each of those assumptions is wrong. Mm-hmm. At the end of it, I want you to think about, okay, so does that mean, because if you are convinced by my argument that each of those assumptions is wrong, does that change the outcome of Moshe Solpaskin that way? In that case, and then of course you could think about whether that's also true in much more important cases than Safek Avodah Zarah. Okay? All right, here we go. Tshuva of Moshe, Chelek Hei Simin Lamed. You already have Chelek Hei Simin Lamed. It tells what it is. Isur lomar lakadosh baruch hu dvarim hamakshimim oto, ach l'mashal ba'alma. The prohibition of saying things that make God physical, even if you are doing so only metaphorically. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And all those things that you've been saying to your... right, to your younger siblings, or your friends about God is like, are all apparently prohibited. Now, where does this come from? So let's watch how Rav Moshe gets to this prohibition. He says, "Had Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonatan, Bivamot Tachet Zayin Medbet, Depasuk Nar Hayiti Gam Zakanti Sar HaOlam Omro." Okay, so the Gemara there quoted an Amora who says that the pasuk you all know. Right, from benching, right? The same way the Rav. I used to make fun of it until I discovered the Rav talks about Mizmor Chaf Gimel as that song we sing at Shal Shudas. It's a footnote in Yishalacha. So Nari Yitigam Zakandi, that pasuk that we say at the end of benching, except other lessons learned. I remember my friend, I think Yossi Abramowitz, once told me that he really didn't want to say it because he didn't think it was true. And I thought today that's one of these crazy liberal things, and it turns out Chabad, apparently. Doesn't say it either, but Chabad is often more liberal than I am. So the Gemara says, the pasuk Nari Iti Gam Zakanti Sar HaOlam Omro. It was said by the officer of the world, but Rashi helpfully comments that means some kind of angel. And I'm not going to get into which angel is. There are lots of later discussions. Enosh Metatron, Enosh Metatron, the same, whatever it may be. Okay, it was said by an angel. Why?
Well, it couldn't be said by God, because God doesn't get old. It also couldn't be said by David, because David didn't get that old. Right, that's the way most, Gemara doesn't address it, but that's how most Sefer deal with it, right? How could David say, Gamzakanti, he died at 70, 70 isn't old. I find this more and more comforting. So, Rav Moshe says, Mashma lichora, de al sar ha'olam shu malach, shayach zikna af shehem nitzchiim. So since the Gemara says it couldn't, that pasuk nari sigam zakanti can't be said by God, because God doesn't get old, but it can be said by an angel, even though angels are eternal, so they shouldn't get old. He says, but what's going on here with angels? First of all, angels shouldn't get old, and if you and secondly, it says, I can prove to you the angels don't get old. How do I know the angels don't get old? Because human beings used to not get old also. Right? It's a special prayer of Avraham Avinu to introduce the appearance of age, because otherwise people couldn't tell him and Yitzchak apart. Right? It's age as a grace. So therefore we discover that aging is not actually part of a natural process for anything. Aging is artificial, so therefore obviously angels don't get old. So how can an angel say Nari iti gamzakanti? It must be a metaphor. But then if it's a metaphor, why can't we say it about God metaphorically? So it must be, says Rav Moshe, that there are things that you cannot say about God even metaphorically. And right, that God ages, cannot, right? You cannot say that God, right, you cannot, you know, refer to God as, let's say, the Atik Yamin, the way the Zohar does, without violating this prohibition, because you cannot use God, you cannot use aging as a reference to God. So Rav Moshe said, "V'tzarech lamar shal kutsha brichu astru lamar lashon zikna af l'mashal ba'alma ve'al malachim mutarze." And then he says, "V'chein mistaber ledina." And he says, not only does this seem like a good argument based on the Gemara, it seems to him that this is true lehalacha. Even though I have never found any posek who said anything like this. But good argument in the Gemara, let's make it true. Okay, now he says, now why do I think it makes sense that this is true, even though I have no source for it other than my argument from the Gemara, says Rav Moshe. Deke'en zeh matzina b'yerodeya simen resht ben bet sif lamedvav. And he's going to make an extended argument now that where he's going to draw an analogy to his prohibition about metaphors. Here's what it says. Omer lechaviro, eni mekabel mimcha im hayita kimoshe, malkino to mishum bizayon. Somebody who says to his friend, I will not accept this from you even if you were like Moshe Rabbeinu, you whip him because he has in some way denigrated. The Isa B'taz B'Shem HaBes Yosef. This is all part of Rav Moshe's extended argument. And the Taz says in the name of Rav Yosef Kara, the Mishum Hachi Amru B'Gemara, Ilu Amro Yehoshua Binun Lo Tzaisinolei. Right? This is why the Gemara, that Rav Beis Yosef says as the makor for this halacha, which we read in Shulchan Aruch, right? Beis Yosef is the index cards from which the Shulchan Aruch gets written. So the Beis Yosef says that the source for this halacha, which he records in Shulchan Aruch, is that there's a Gemara which says, if Yehoshua ben Nun said this, I wouldn't listen to him. And it says, if you were like Yehoshua ben Nun, I wouldn't give you my daughter. So why would anybody say to someone else, you know what, even if you were like Yehoshua, I wouldn't do it. Must be that it's okay to say it about Yehoshua, but not okay to say it about Moshe. Otherwise, Yehoshua is second best. It's a much better insult if you say, I wouldn't take this from you if you were like Moshe. So Rav Yosef Kara says, look, there's halacha, you're not allowed to say it like Moshe. Where did they get that from? They got it from the Gemara. Because the Gemara says, I wouldn't take that from you even if you were Yehoshua ben Nun. Ah. Umefarish HaTaz, and the Taz explains, that what's the connection between this Gemara about Yehoshua ben Nun and this halacha? Shehabizayon hu leMoshe. When you say, I wouldn't accept that from you even if you were Moshe Rabbeinu, you're insulting Moshe, because even if you're like Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm insulting you. Why? Because I'm suggesting the possibility of someone being like Moshe. Therefore, says Rav Moshe, Af shekavanu rak lemashal ba'alma. Even though I'm only using it as a mere metaphor, exaggeration, right? Me'achar shu bilti efshar shavikseiv lo ksiv lo kam b'Moshe, because it's absolutely impossible. No one could ever be like Moshe, because the Torah says, Lo kam ke Moshe b'Yisrael od. So therefore, Rav Moshe says, based on this taz, he says, what must be true is, Harei mefurosh, sh'af amir l'mashal be'alma asur, kevan shu neged ha'emet shakotuv b'Torah. So you're not even allowed to use right, to make the statement, this is like Moshe, because that would be suggesting something, that would be using as a metaphor something which the Torah explicitly denies as true. Okay, so the Torah said there are no unicorns, you would not be allowed to write stories about unicorns. Right? We might have some Harry Potter issues here. If you think the Torah says that magic is not true. Whole debate. One you can watch on YouTube. There's a wonderful debate here with Moshe Rosenberg and with Meir Sender that I moderated, in which the question was, you know, where the assumption was Harry Potter is only okay if it's not, if magic doesn't work. But if magic really does work, then it's us. So Meir Sender was opposed. Harry Rosenberg, but it's ironic, right, that the okay. So Rav Moshe says that it seems to him that what the Taz tells you is that you're not allowed to use the statement like Moshe, and that even though you could say like Yeshua, because the statement like Moshe, even when you're using it only rhetorically and you don't mean it to be true, is somehow pretending that the Torah is false. And therefore he says, Vim Kain, Kol Shekain, Shashiach Le'esor Lomar Lashon Zikna, Afu Mashal Be'alma HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, if you can't say like Moshe, then Kal V'chomer, you can say that God is like an old man. Okay, there we are. Religious conference, you know, this is as bad as the Rambam, right, who says you can't say anything about God. Except the Rambam at least only says it philosophically, doesn't necessarily claim that it's usur to use, right? Generally, he says it's not usur, right? Just you have to know when you say things about God that you're really not saying anything that relates to truth. Revelation now says it's usur. That's good for those of us who like Gemara and don't like talking about God. Right? We just solved the whole problem with day school education not talking about God is because we're frum. That's why we don't talk about God, because it's usur. How many of you can think of an obvious problem with this? Aside from the paucity of religious language. Right? Why is this obviously not true? Yeah?
I mean, I'm just thinking of the whole Torah. I mean, the whole Torah speaks about God metaphorically.
Absolutely, absolutely. So Rav Moshe knows this too. Right. Very good. So, that's the next line. Excellent. Next line of Moshe says, "V'af shematzino shneamar b'kroya l'kadosh baruch hu, dvarim sheino l'mashal ba'alma l'saberet ozen keyadua." Even though the Torah uses metaphors and not just his rhetorical flights, but actually to explain things. It, by the way, is a fascinating thing for those of you who have papers on literary theory to write. Rav Moshe distinguishes between mashal ba'alma and things that are l'saberet ozen. Really fascinating distinction in terms of figures of speech. Religion is there, presumably things that actually metaphors that actually explain things are worse, and yet the Torah does it all the time. So he says, "Ein lecha ela mashin emar, ve'ein lemelech loyoter mimashin matzina beferish." But okay, you can use the metaphors that aren't chumash. Nothing else. Okay, so all of you should be thinking right now. There's a very famous part of the liturgy that Rav Moshe is channeling here. What's he channeling? What's Anin Zmirut about? Right? I love God, I want to talk about God, but I can't talk about God. Everything I talk about God is true. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to collect every metaphor in Tanakh, and I'm going to build a portrait of God. But it's a multidimensional portrait of God, using only biblical metaphors, because I don't believe that I'm allowed to make metaphors up myself. Right? That's the whole structure of Anin Zmirut. It's incredible. One of the fun metaphors, of course, is Zikna B'Yom Din. So we actually found a place in Tanakh where Zikna would work. That's a problem for Rav Moshe. But there we have it. Rav Moshe says basically Anas Birot is not just a work of philosophic poetry, but it is reflects halacha. You're not allowed to use metaphors that aren't explicitly in Tanakh. Okay. So have I scared you all? Which way are you all going to go off now and drink strawberry milkshakes, or are you going to say, Rabbi Clapper's right? None of this, all this God talk, really is unorthodox, and we're just going to do lambdas from now on. Okay, we're thinking about it. Moshe says it, right? It's the Pharisee Shuvah. He has an argument. It's a pretty good argument on the surface. All right, so I'm going to argue that it's all wrong. I have to decide. So the first argument I'll make is that my wife Deborah, decided that Rav Moshe's argument, the very last step of Rav Moshe's argument, which is that assuming that everything he said up until now is right, the notion that there's an analogy between the prohibition of saying Kim Moshe and the prohibition of using aging as a metaphor for God, so she thought there was a lack of parallelism, because the prohibition by Moshe is saying that X is like Moshe, and the prohibition about God is saying that God is like X. So the arrows go in opposite directions. So she thought it wasn't such a good proof. Okay, or you might say Kal v'chomer.
Okay, so that
I thought it was worth mentioning, but I'm not 100% convinced that by itself is a dispositive argument against it. Okay. Now the argument about the Gemara. So we could have other reasons, right, that we would say Sarah Olam as opposed to God. We could handle that. The Achronim like to say that angels are created beings, so they are subject to time. So they can say Gam Zakanti because they have been around long. Right, they have a starting point and perhaps an end point, as opposed to God who is above time. Interesting philosophic argument. I don't know. Right, that would be an alternative explanation as to why Pasuk says Sar Shalom Amro, as opposed to God. But I think probably if we were just judging Moshe's argument on internal consistency and on its relationship to the Gemara Nevama, I don't know that we could do much. But Rav Moshe himself says, this is an enormous chiddush. He's never heard of anyone say this before. And he's looked through all the poskim and he's never found anybody who says this. So what he builds himself on, when he says, V'chein mistaber ledina, is because he has the analogy. And the analogy is to this, halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, which says, Ha'omer ha'meirev im chavero, right? So the language, Ha'omer l'chavero, eni mekabal mimcha emayita kimoshe, Malkina to mishum bizayon, which the Beis Yosef connects to statements about Yehoshua, why Yehoshua not Moshe, and the Taz explains why Yehoshua not Moshe, because you're not allowed to say them about Moshe. And Rav Moshe says, look, right, so just like you're not allowed to say things about Moshe, even as metaphors, because they're false, so the question is that true? Is there really halacha that you're not allowed to say things, that you're not allowed to say in any context? If you were like Moshe Rabbeinu, like that's essentially the claim, right? That sentence, that phrase, is banned, right? And you can't say there's no context in which you can ever make the statement. If you were like Moshe, right? If you were like Moshe Rabbeinu, I would give you $1 billion. No, yes.
What's an only with regards to Moshe's prophecy?
So you might think that that should be the halacha. It should only be right.
The relationship to his prophecy, because no one could be a Navi like Moshe, but everyone could be a Tzaddik like Moshe, or...
So that's an interesting argument, but it's not what the Shulchan Aruch says, according to Moshe, right? Shulchan Aruch just says, right, you're having an argument, and you say, I wouldn't take that from you if you were Moshe. So, maybe, right, good argument, but if Rav Moshe's right, not a compelling argument. So the problem is, we're not sure we really want this halacha in Shulchan Aruch either. But that's Shulchan Aruch, so we couldn't possibly paskin against that, right? Even if it were all wrong. That would be worse than passing against Rav Moshe, especially if he didn't have an argument. Right, okay, so we're not going to do that. I hope. Okay, so let's go on, let's see, right? We're just building the chain. Rav Moshe has an argument. His argument is based on the Shulchan Aruch, as understood, as right, reasonably, as explained by the Beis Yosef. Shulchan Aruch connects this halacha to this Gemara about Yehoshua, as explained by the Taz, who says it shouldn't be Zayon de Moshe. Okay, let's take a look at what the Gemara says. So we're not actually going to do the Gemara in depth. There's a whole fascinating Gemara about what happens if you have flesh that has, right, if you have skin that has meat clinging to it, under what circumstance, human skin and meat, under what circumstances do we consider it creating tumah or not? And happily, we can, particularly during lunch, we can completely avoid the topic, the specific topic of the Gemara. What matters to us is if you look in the Gemara, right? Somebody, there's a debate between Rav Nachman and Ula, in which Rav Nachman says, right? Ula makes a claim that Rabbi Yochanan said this is only true in case X paltasu chaya, but not in case Y paltasu sakin. And then Rav Nachman says to Ula, does Rabbi Yochanan say it even in case Z? And he said yes. Even in case Z prime, yes. To which Ula says, Ha'elukim, Im Amar li Rav Yochanan mipume lo tzaisinole. If Rav Yochanan said it to me himself, I wouldn't listen to him. Okay, and that is a whole, sure, he says, so it must be Rav Nachman saying that, sorry. And then it's this conversation, Ula and Rav Nachman is recorded, and somebody gets upset that Rav Nachman could say this about Rav Yochanan, and he says, I still heard it myself, but it turns out that his report of Rav Yochanan's statement is different than the previous report. And the end we have this line, last line, it says, Ve'elokim y'amar li Yehoshua bin Nun mishmei lo tzaisinole. So that's the context of the Gemara is that there's an argument about who said something, and right whether the report of a trident, right, whether when I said that Rabbi X said something, should you believe me? And one rabbi says to another, I don't care if Yehoshua ben Nun told me that Rabbi Yochanan said this, I wouldn't believe you. Okay, that's our context. So the question is, could we think of another reason? I could be think of a way to say that this is not based, right? This is not at all. This is not at all connected to an insult to Moshe Rabbeinu. I could think of a way. The reason this is Yehoshua ben Nun and not Moshe, for reasons that have nothing whatsoever to do with insulting Moshe. All right, we'll hold that for the thought for the moment. Right? I think you will be able to. But I want to go on. Let's go through the Taz's report. So here I just have to be, I have a confession. The Taz and I don't get along. They're always, right, everyone, you know, has Rishonim and Achronim that, you know, that are simpatico, and you'll say, well, that's somebody who makes perfect sense to me. And then there are Rishonim and Achronim who don't. For me, my Beta Noirs are the Aruch Lanier and the Taz. The Aruch Lanier, from the time I've been in high school, the Aruch Lanier arouses, you know, almost, you know, physical anger in me. I read it Aruch Lanier, he just reads Rashi in a way that gets just so goes against my grain. And the Taz, I just sat through Yeridea thinking that every single proof the Taz brought was wrong. And it was just over and over again. My Chavrus and I, as a joke, wanted to write a book called The Ma'aka. That's because the Taz continually misunderstands the Bayit Chadash. And we thought we should build a ma'aka. It was his father-in-law. We thought we should build a ma'aka to protect the Bayit Chadash. Now, the annoying thing is, though, that while the Aruch Lanier and the Taz make arguments that are based on readings that just, you know, at some point you just have to say, boys love quoting my chavrusa, Moshe Raymond, one year at Rav Rosenzweig's house, gave a Purim drasha on why the milsidah b'tchusas, the amusing things that the Gemara quotes, aren't funny. I said, because Chazal had a bad sense of humor or because they had a different sense of humor? And of course, the firm answer is they had a different sense of humor. You just don't understand it. So the Aruch Lanier and the Taz have a different way of reading that I simply am not simpatico with. I can't understand how they can read that way or argue that way. The Aruch Lanier read and the Taz argue. But at the same time, the challenging things for me is that their psak is often excellent. Whereas I often like their conclusions. And I think that their conclusions are intuitively correct. And I might even think that the proper readings of the text, just they didn't make the readings that yield the conclusion that get there that way. So that's a big challenge for me, reading the Taz. But for me, in the same way, Rav Shmuel Nachum, who was a Rosh Yeshiva Shalvim years ago, I had, I think, an hour with him once, which he got to tell me all the distilled wisdom of his years. So I know you don't have to ever listen to him because I have everything. So the important things that he told me were, number one is, you don't have to know everything. You just have to know 10 things or 100 things other people don't know. And they'll assume that you know everything else. The second thing is that if you need to give a shir in a hurry, just read the Levush. And it's bound to be obviously against 3 or 4 Gemaras, then you can just give shir trying to reconcile it. So that's sort of me with the Taz. If I need a shir, I can just look at the Taz, and then the shir will be about why I disagree. So here we have a Taz. So it's right, it's red meat. We're going to go through the Taz, and we're going to see what the... Again, I'm not, well, ordinarily, like, just wanting to just... I'm being entertaining today. Don't take this as false advertising. All right. Normally, these jokes get spread out over 6 weeks. So we turn the page. So here we go. Shulchan Aruch actually says, or Moshe quotes it roughly accurately, Omer lechaviro, somebody, exactly accurately, somebody who says to his friend, Eini mekabel mimcha mayita kemoshe, malkino to mishum bizayon. Okay, where did he get that from? So the Beis Yosef says the following, Katuv besof sefer Orchot Chaim. It says at the end of a book called the Orchot Chaim, Problem is, there are two books named the Orchot Chaim, one of which is the Safra Zvei Rashi, one of which is the Rush, and I forget which one this is. But it doesn't matter, because one of those books has something at the end of it, right? And we don't have that something. So the only preserved record we have of this, I think this because I looked up the Beis Yosef in other places, quotes Kasub Sefer, Sof Sefer Orchot Chaim, and none of those things appear in either of our Orchot Chaims. And eventually I found a footnote somewhere where somebody says, Ein Sefer is a or something like that. So I'm assuming that Beis Yosef is the only quote we have of this kuntras at the back of the Sefer Orchot Chaim. It says the following: Adam merivim chaviro. If somebody is arguing with his friend, the amarlo any mekabel mimcha mehayita kemoshe rabenu, malkino to mishum bizayon ad kam l'shana Beis Yosef. V'nirali, so Beis Yosef says, the mishum hachi amru b'gemara ilu amra Yehoshua benun mipume. Okay, that's exactly what the Rav Moshe said it would say, right? Yeah? No surprises? All right, we should just start looking. So if you're right, so take a look at page one. Let's take a look exactly what Rav Moshe said. So Rav Moshe said, the Isa Betaz Mishum Beis Yosef, you all have that? If he was like, did the Beis Yosef say anything about not giving you his daughter? No. So that got put in. It's not really in the Beis Yosef. Okay. What if it hurts? Right? More the better. Okay. Fine. Like the Shulchan Aruch really did get this halacha from our Gemara, which is great. And in fact, the Gra agrees. Amr lechaver eni bechule shelachen amru bekama mekamos ilu amru kiyoshua benun bechule. Okay, chulin kufchav dalam alav ayin taz below amru Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom. We're all fine. Okay, good. So far, everyone's accurate. Now we get to the taz. Taz says mishum bizayon katav Beit Yosef. Okay, so far Rav Moshe quoted the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, and the Taz accurately. The Taz quoted the Beis Yosef almost accurately. Everything seems hunky-dory. Okay, let's go on. So now the Taz says, "L'v'sefer Rashal al perek hachovel simenun gimel mevi v'zev l'shono." The Maharshal, or Shlomo Luria, who is a contemporary of the Rama, writes in perek hachovel, and he says the following: "V'katuz b'tshuvot." It's written in the Tshuvot. So this is probably not the same thing as the stuff at the back of the Sefer Orchot Chaim. It's probably a different book. But since it just says Tshuvot, we have no idea what he's talking about. So we don't know what the Marshal had. Kasav b'Tshuvot. Adam shemiskotet im chavero, v'amar eni mekabu mecha, afilo hayita kemarshu rabbeinu olav ha-shalom, malkina to mishum b'zayon. Okay, so far the Marshal quotes exactly the Tshuvot that we have. He places meriv with mitkotet. No big deal. And the Rashal says, but I think this is a chiddush. Ki heragin haloshonhu. This is just ordinary use of language. V'gam enu biyush kol kach l'Moshe Rabbeinu lo v'shalom. And why is it so humiliating to Moshe if you say to somebody, if you were like Moshe? It's a compliment, right? If you were the greatest person imaginable, there's no bizayon to Moshe. V'od bistama lo kiven lignai. Right? And he doesn't even tend to humiliate anybody. Rak shehivri sal midosav. He's just exaggerating. Sheino rotzel l'kabel mimenu. Uh-oh. Mechila opius. He doesn't want to accept appeasement from him. Lachain mechidush lo yofinan. So the Marshal says we don't learn since this whole thing is a chiddush. This whole tshuva that it's usher to say afilo yitzak Moshe is a chiddush. We don't learn anything else from a chiddush. So somebody actually comes along and says, we tell him you should fast the hab. That's the end of the Marshal. Now here comes the Taz. And according to the Taz, The Taz says, according to the Marshal, Imo Mir Kimil Yoshua, if somebody says, Eni Makalvim Chafila Yitzik Yoshua, Gamke Malkinoso, you should also give it Malkos, the Maishna. What difference, right? What difference does it make? Amo Yotir Nira Kimosha Kasa B'Shem Beis Yosef, Shavim Raya V'Gemara, V'Chen V'Yavamos, Ilo Havi Kashua B'Nun Lo Yivne Le Birta. Okay, so here the first thing you should all get immediately what the Taz does to the Marshal. Marshal says that this halacha is such a chiddush, we don't even give you Malkos for saying a fiita kemosha. So he says, where did the, right? This is a weird halacha, this tshuva. Right? Where does it come from? The Taz says, well, that must be wrong, because if it were true, if your argument were true, that we should, right, that it's really just because we're trying to insult Moshe, not because we're saying it's like Moshe, then you should give Malkos for Yeshua binun also, and that's not true. But Marshal says, no, we don't give Malkos to anybody. And then the Taz is like, I have another reason that Marshal is wrong, says the Taz. The other reason the Marshal is wrong is because he's against the Raya from the Gemara. And in fact, right, and the Taz says, I have another Raya from the Gemara. It says, I wouldn't, if you were like Yoshua, I wouldn't give you your sister. So that's a really good point. It's against the Gemara. Except, hang on. It's against the Gemara. You notice the Marshal never quoted the Gemara. The Beis Yosef brought up the Gemara. Then the Taz brought in the second Gemara. Beis Yosef quoted Gemara number one. Taz quoted Gemara number two. What does the Marshal do with that Gemara? So let's turn the page. And let's see. We're on page 3 now, right? Let's see what the Marshal actually... What the... Yeah, so the fourth source. The fourth source is the Marshal. Right? Yam Shel Shlomo Sechem Lekam Perichet. And look what it's labeled. Din Mish Amar Eni Mikabla Mimcha Mechila Afilo Hayita Kemoshe Rabbeinu. So the Marshal says, we noticed this the first time, and now we can notice this for real. And Marshal says, the context of the tshuva that the Beis Yosef cites is not about not accepting the truth of a statement. It's about accepting mechila. Now, if the halacha in the tshuva is about accepting mechila from somebody, does that have anything to do with the Gemara about Yeshua? No, the Gemara Yeshua is about accepting the truth of something, right? So why doesn't the, so what does the Marshal do with this Gemara that bothers the Taz? He says, your Gemara is irrelevant. Because your Gemara is talking about truth statements, and the Tshuva here is talking about Mechila. So you're comparing apples and oranges. Okay, so we are now is that the machlokas between the Taz and the Marshal is based on the Taz not getting that the Marshal thinks it's about Mechila and Pius. If the Taz had understood that the Marshal thought this was about Mechila and Pius, then he could never have asked his question from the Gemara. Because the Gemara is obviously talking about something entirely differently. Okay, but now the interesting question is, which way did the Beis Yosef mean it? Did the Beis Yosef think it was is the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch that says you're not allowed to say any mekabel mecha afilo yuta kemoshe and you get malchus if you do? Is that if you say I wouldn't accept the truth of that either at Moshe or if I wouldn't accept mechila from you? So the answer is the Taz is right. Beis Yosef says it's about mechila. How do I? It's about truth. Why? Because the Beis Yosef quotes our Gemara. So really, we have now is simply there's a machlokas between the Marshal and the Beis Yosef as to how to read that Gemara. And how to read the Tshuva, right? So the right if you're allowed to read the Tshuva. Everyone agrees the Gemara is about truth. The Beis Yosef thought that the Tshuva was about truth, and the Marshal said, no, the Tshuva is about Mechila, so that Gemara has nothing to do with anything. But without the Tshuva, the Marshal should have still had to read the Gemara and said, what's going on here? Right? The Gemara, why doesn't it say Afilo Yita Kemosha Rabbeinu? How does the Marshal explain the Gemara? We know that he doesn't bring the Gemara as a Raya because he thinks the Tshuva is about something else. But how does he explain the Gemara at all? So here I wanted you to look very carefully. So let's look at the way the Taz quotes the Gemara. Okay? So the Taz quotes our Gemara, and what he says is... I have the upside down one. The Taz says... Venerally... Katav Bet Yosef, initially, Vishum Hachi Amru B'Gemara, Ilu Amra Yoshua Benun, Lo tzai sinale. If Yehoshua ben Nun said this, I would not obey him. Right? That's the quote. You should all memorize that in your heads now. Ilu amra Yehoshua ben Nun, lo tzai sinale. Okay, now let's go back and look at the Beis Yosef, which is just one line above. And what's different? Mipume. Okay, so the Taz says, the Beis Yosef says, Ilu amra Yehoshua ben Nun, lo tzai sinale. The Beis Yosef says, Ilu amra Yehoshua ben Nun, mipume, lo tzai sinale. Okay, so what? What else would he say it with? Right, his feet? Obviously, it has to be from his mouth, right? So no big deal at all. Now let's take a look at the way the Marshal quotes the Gemara. If you take a look at the Marshal, does the Marshal actually quote the Gemara? The answer is no, it's not going to help us any because the Marshal never quotes the Gemara. So all we can do is look at our text of the Gemara. So take a look at the line at page 1. And, right, the last line at page 1, and what does it say there? Ilu amar li Yehoshua ben Nun, mishmei. Now, what's the difference between mipume and mishmei? Yehoshua ben Nun had said this to me with his mouth. Or Yehoshua ben Nun had said this in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. I would not have believed him. Okay, two very different statements. One of them says, right, even if Yehoshua ben Nun told me this, I wouldn't accept it as halacha. The other is, even if Yehoshua ben Nun told me that Rabbi Yochanan said this, I wouldn't trust him. Okay? Which means that there are two different ways of reading the Gemara, what the Gemara is really about. In one of them, the Gemara is about truth, and the other of them, the Gemara is about trust. Now here, the Marshal lives later than the Beit Yosef. So the Beit Yosef is reading Gemara from manuscript, and the Marshal is already reading printed editions, probably. Probably a printed edition that is the same as ours. So it seems very likely that the Beis Yosef has the Girsa Mipume, because he quotes it that way, and the Marshal has the Girsa Mishme, which is what we have. Now what difference will that make? So I want to argue the following. According to the Beis Yosef, where it says, Ilam Reli Yoshua Bin Nun Mipume, so it's about trust, and then we say it's about truth, then why would you say Yeshua and not Moshe? There the Beis Yosef says this Gemara must mean specifically Yeshua and not Moshe, and that's why it's a riot for our Gemara. But the Marshal says it's not about truth. It's about trusting someone to report their Rebbe's words accurately. So who is the best Talmud to report his Rebbe's words accurately? Yeshua bin Nun. So the Marshal doesn't think there's anything to say here about why it says Yehoshua, not Moshe. Because of course he would say, Afilo Amar Li Yehoshua ben Nun mi shemei, because Yehoshua ben Nun is the first person who says Davar Hashem Omro. Okay, so what I want to argue is, what's really going on here is, the machlokus between the Beis Yosef and the Marshal is based on two different girsos in the Gemara. The Marshal, because he has the Girsa Mishmei, would never think about asking the question, why not Moshe? Therefore, when he sees this tshuva, right, he doesn't think it has anything to do with, I wouldn't take the truth of it if you were Moshe. He thinks it must be about insulting. The Marshal thinks that it says Mishmei, therefore the Marshal thinks that it's obviously, Yeshua, there's no proof about Moshe. So when he sees the tshuva, he has no reason to think that it's connected to this Gemara. He has no reason to think the tshuva has anything to do with truth or trust. So he says it's about Mechila. The Beis Yosef, who has the Girsa Mipume, says, oh look, it's really cool to connect this Gemara and this Gemara and this tshuva. And therefore, right, he says it's about truth. And so we get the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, which leads to Rav Moshe. But now the only question is, it's all very well and good when we say we have a machlokas between the Marshal and the Beis Yosef, and the answer is going to be that the answer is going to be that we paskin like Beis Yosef, right? So the Marshal is just an interesting footnote in history. Now, we should, however, ask the question about whether the Taz properly understood the Beis Yosef. So remember, right? So now we know what we now we know the machlok is between the Beis Yosef and the Marshal. The Beis Yosef says it's connected to the Gemara. The Marshal says it's not, and we know why. Because they have two different understandings of the Tshuva. Does the Beis Yosef really say what the Taz says? So let's try and think of the statement. If the state, let's try and bring a raya from the Gemara to the. What does the Gemara tell me? The Gemara says that if you walk up to somebody, according to the Beis Yosef, if you walk up to somebody and says, "If you were Moshe Rabbeinu, I wouldn't take that from you." So the question is, does that mean? And the Beis Yosef says that proves that you get Malkos. Why? Because it said. So let's start again. The Gemara. Somebody, Amora said X says in the Gemara, "You just said that to me. I wouldn't believe. I wouldn't take that from you. I wouldn't take that as true, even if you were Yeshua." So the Beis Yosef says, "Aha." But if you said to him, "I wouldn't take that from you, even if you were like Moshe," we give you Malkos. Why? The Taz says, because you're insulting Moshe, and he invents this whole thing, how can you be like Moshe? But the problem is that nowhere in the Gemara does anybody compare anyone to anything. If you look at the text of the Gemara doesn't say, right? The text of the Tshuva is, Elo hayita kemoshe. The text of the Gemara is, take a look again, the last line of Gemara, is, E amar li Yehoshua ben Nun mishmei. If Yehoshua ben Nun said this to me himself, there's no comparison at all. Right? According to the Taz himself, if I were to walk up to you and say, you know what, Erzisi, that thing you just said to me, if Moshe Rabbeinu himself said it to me, I wouldn't take it. If I suggest anyone could be like Moshe? No, have I compared you to Moshe? No. All I'm saying is that I wouldn't take this statement, even if it were like Moshe. So the Taz's claim that you can follow from this Gemara to right to the halacha that you're not allowed to compare anyone to Moshe is simply a non-starter, because the Gemara never mentions the comparison. What the Beis Yosef really means, Pashut, is, you know what, there has to be a limit to how much you insult people. If I say to you, I wouldn't take that from you, even if you were Yeshua ben Nun, okay, but at least I'm admitting that if you were Moshe Rabbeinu, I would take it from you. I don't hate you that much. Right, or I don't distrust you that much. But if I say, essentially, you know what, even if you were the greatest human being that ever existed, that's going too far. So we whip you, not because you're Mevaza Moshe Rabbeinu, because you're Mevaza the other person. The Taz, Laniut Dati, misunderstood the Raya from the Gemara. And he invents this whole thing of a feel, right, of saying it's usher to say that someone is like Moshe, but he's never said anything of the sort. So, which is why, let's leave it at that for now. Okay, so I want to suggest, where we are right now is, Rav Moshe says that there's halacha that you can't use certain metaphors about God, because there's halacha that you can't use certain metaphors about Moshe Rabbeinu. The claim that there's halacha that you can't use certain metaphors about Moshe Rabbeinu comes from the Taz. But the Taz is based on a misunderstanding of the Beis Yosef. And even if the Taz properly understood the Beis Yosef, there's a machlokus in the Beis Yosef and the Marshal about whether that's the correct understanding of the Tshuva. Okay, but you know what? Okay, it's a Taz. What would really blow everything up, the really question is, what if the Marshal is right? What if that's really what the Tshuva meant? What if the Tshuva were really about Mechila? Now, do we have any way of knowing that? No, we don't have the Tshuva, right? We don't have the end of the Orchis Chaim, we don't know what the Marshal is quoting. So, we would be stuck, but we're not. So now I want you to turn to page 3. So, page 3, we're going to start with the Shiltot de Rabbi Chai Gaon. The Shiltot de Rabbi Chai Gaon is a very odd book. First of all, Rabbi Chai apparently was not a Gaon. That's just for fun. The Gaonim was an official position in the Yeshivot, and Rabbi Chai apparently did not ever hold such a position. But he lived in the time of the Gaonim, so we call him a Gaon. Okay, the whole thing, right, if you, those of you who have not yet had the incredible joy of reading Dr. Salvation's article on the Third Babylonian Yeshiva should go off and read it now, because it's the most fun you'll have, like, for years. It's like, it's hard, it's about who else existed in the time of the Gaonim. It's the
I can't do it justice. You just have to. At some point in your life, when you're really bleak depression, you think there's no point in going on, just take out Dr. Soloveitchik's article on the third Babylonian yeshiva, and at least, 6 months, it's got to buy you. enormous, enormous fun. Anyway, it's good to find. Usually it takes books, but it's just an article. Shelter Rav Chai Goin. So it's a book by Rav Chai, and that is a whole interesting scholarly debate. Is it really a post Talmudic summary of the Gemara? The problem is that it seems to contradict the Gemara in too many places, or is it a preservation of oral material from before what we call the Talmud? In which case, I figure out why does it still exist. Right, both of these are good questions. My masoret from Professor Neil Danzig is that it is a collection of it's a survival of pre-Talmudic oral materials, and as to why they exist, then we refer you back to Dr. Soloveitchik's article. Although at the time, obviously, that Professor Danzig taught this to me, Dr. Soloveitchik had not yet written this article, so they can't really be Talmudic Bezit. So the Shil is this interesting book. It's organized by Parsha, and it begins each unit with a question. Shilta. That the Jews are obligated to do Brit Milah on the eighth day. The Adifa Mihiluta, right? And Milah is really, really important. When the eighth day comes out on Shabbos, Dachinim Lal Shabbat Min Kamei Mihiluta. Okay, Milah is Docha Shabbos. You all know this, right? The Afilu Man De Nefisha Zechuta Ki Moshe Rabbeinu. Even somebody who has as many merits as Moshe Rabbeinu, lo magna alei zechuta, his zechuyot do not protect him if he does not do milah on the eighth day. Beidan de mirashel b'miluta, if he delays brit milah, iyanesh, he gets punished. Shin emar, v'hi baderach b'malon, v'yifkesheu Hashem b'yivakesh hamito. So we all know this, right? Last 2 weeks ago's parsha, right? That Moshe delays the Brit Milah of one son or another, it seems, right? And so he gets punished. Okay, so now I want you to ask you, according to the Shilta, I ask you, what does the phrase Afilo Hayita Ki Moshe Rabbeinu mean? And when do you use the phrase Afilo Hayita Ki Moshe Rabbeinu? When you say that, it is complimentary. It doesn't say any, right? This is the Gaon of Marn doing something else, sir. Right? This is a problem according to both the Taz and Rav Moshe, right? That it seems to be that the Shiltos is violating the halacha, because the Shiltos is a filu man. Whoops! How could it be somebody like Moshe Rabbeinu? Off with his head, right? So, right, presumably we have the Shiltos seems to be beferish paskin against the Taz because it says a filo yitzik Moshe Rabbeinu. For real. Okay, that's one. When do you use the phrase "Afilo Yitzik Moshe Rabbeinu" in the gut? Right, according to this, right? It was when you want to show that you're right. Moshe Rabbeinu is the person with the most chuyot, and even those chuyot don't protect you. Okay, so now dramatic climax. I want you to. Right, it turns out that we don't have the end of the Sefer Orchot Chaim, and we don't know what Shavuot the Marshal is referring to, but we do have the Geniza, and in the Geniza we have two Shavuot HaGeonim. That seemed to be exactly the tshuva that we're talking about. So now, I want you to read the Tshuvot HaGeonim, both versions, right? It's on page 3 under the Shilta. And I want you to tell me what's different about the tshuva of the Geonim than it was cited by either the Maharshal or the Beit Yosef. And why does it matter? Going really fast, we got lots of time.
One of the Shuvot of the Gaonim is much more explicit in what the case is referring to, meaning it's saying anyone coming in the plan might have adult Moshe Rabbeinu, so as opposed, it's more on the nose as to what they're saying.
Okay, so one of the Shuvot says Gadol Ki Moshe. Okay, good. That's the B answer.
Okay, we still got B plus, A minus, and A to go. A plus is if you figure out why it matters. So great. On a curve, you're way ahead. Anybody see any other differences? This is like one of those things with the psychological examinations where the person comes out in the gorilla suit in the middle of the basketball game and no one notices.
Yeah.
Read it over word for word and tell me what's different. You got it? Yeah?
Marshall mentions specifically,
but neither. Okay, very right. So the Marshall actually has in his text of it, he says any mekabel mimcha mechila. So that's correct, and it's not in there. So that seems like a root, right? Maybe the Beis Yosef is right. The Marshall put it in, or maybe the right. That's fair. Good. Okay. B plus. Why? Do you think you'll lose? Now on the curve, right? This resonant, right? You're the lowest score. Everyone else, I don't know. My mother, when she taught in community college, apparently there was a grade. There was an F, and there was an R, repeats. And for an F, you got to keep your grants. But if you got an R, you had to repeat the class. You didn't get credit. So students would come to her begging for an F. And she would say, "You have to earn the F." Word for word. This is not a trick, I should say. Dr. Soloveitchik once threw us out of shir because he assigned every text you're required to prepare with the Didukei Sofrim, and so he walked in one day early in the semester and he said, "What changes are in the Didukei Sofrim?" And none of us had the courage to tell him that there weren't any, which was the right answer. So we decided we weren't prepared enough, because if you're really prepared, you'd be confident. There were no changes. So he threw us out. This is not that kind of trick. Yes. It says mitkotet or meriv in the two versions in the Gaonim, and even the Marshal has mitkotet and umeriv, right? So it's interesting, right? Oh. Right, Marshal has both, has one from each. Okay, we'll put that in the B plus category. There's another one. It's really hard to see. Yes. Tell me more.
So it's not that the person, if you were like, even if Moshe, or if you were like Moshe, then I still wouldn't listen. It's the person who's saying it.
Ah, bingo. Hey, if you get there, tell me what makes that change? You're giving the interpretation. You didn't tell me what we're. You didn't tell me how you know that that's true. As opposed to? Im hayita kemoshe. Exactly right. The text of the Tshuvot, the way the Marshal Beis Yosef quote it, it's all part of the quote. Omer lachavero, eini mimkabel mimcha afilo hayita kemoshe, malkino tomishum bizayon. But the text of the Tshuvot actually says, Omer lachavero, eini mimkabel mimcha, im hayak kemoshe, even if he's like Moshe, Malkino Tomishim Bizayot. It's not comparing, right? It's not comparing, as Rachel said, it's not comparing the person who is, it's not that you are comparing the person you are insulting to Moshe. It's that the author of the Tshuva is saying that even if the insulter were like Moshe, he wouldn't get away with it. Now, why do I think that's a reasonable interpretation? Because I have the Shiltos. And I know that in the time of the Gaonim, they use the phrase, Im hayak Moshe, meaning even if he has zechuyot like Moshe, he still gets punished. So this tshuva is just following the model of the Shiltos. So, well, what I want to say is in the end, we had a tshuva of the Gaonim. The tshuva of the Gaonim said that if you tell somebody after a fight, I will not take mechila from you, It doesn't matter who you are, you get punished. You always have to take mechila. At some point, the Hayah became Hayita. And therefore, people read it as, right, the Marshal read it as, it's not that you always have to take mechila, even if you're like Moshe, you always have to take mechila, and even if you're Moshe, you have to take mechila from anybody. He read it instead as, even if you tell somebody, I refuse to accept your mechila, even if you're like Moshe, you get punished. The Marshal said, I don't know where that came from. That's a weird halacha. Why should it matter, Moshe or Yeshua? But you know what? It's in a tshuva, the Marshal said, so fast. But that's because the Marshal had the girsa afilu amar li Yeshua ben Nun mishmei, which had nothing to do with this tshuva. But now, the Beis Yosef had the girsa mipume. And so he connected the Gemara to it, and he came with a new halacha, which is, it's not about mechila at all. It's about truth. You're not allowed to tell somebody, I wouldn't accept that as truth from you even if you were like Moshe. Now, along came the Taz and said, well, why should it be usher to say, I wouldn't accept the truth from that if you were like Moshe? On that axis, who cares Moshe or Yeshua? So the Taz says, no, it must be that the halacha is you're not allowed to compare anyone to Moshe for any reason whatsoever. And this is just an example. Now, along came Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe said, well, the Taz said, that there's a halacha which says you're not allowed to compare anyone to Moshe for any reason whatsoever. Therefore, there can also be a halacha that you can't use metaphors about God. Now how do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rav Moshe? Do we paskin like the Shulchan Aruch? Or do we say, well, you know what? Rabbi Klapper's got a really good argument. He's got the original girsa of the tshuva that both the Marshal and Beis Yosef have. And if you can tell me, how does he know his girsa is right? Well, he has the shiltas. He knows that the Beis Yosef is right. Is based on understanding the Gemara, which is right. If the Beis Yosef had our girsa, he would have had a much better explanation of that Gemara. So maybe we should pass the answer of Moshe, and we should pass the answer of Shulchan Aruch. And we should all learn the very nice halacha that if you're in the middle of a fight with somebody, you should never say, "I won't take mechila from you." That's bad. You should always take mechila from people. Doesn't matter how great you are. Even if you're Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to accept it if people offer you mechila. So what do you think? How do we paskin? Somebody comes up to you tomorrow and says, I'm teaching my fifth grade class about God tomorrow. And I want to teach them that God is like a very strict old man sitting on a seat of judgment. Mutter? Asur of Moshe said so? Alright, so these are good questions. Right? Questions I like to think about, because the truth is that this can happen a lot. In all sorts of interesting ways. First of all, this one letter that the Marshal seems to have put into that tshuva. So that kind of thing can have lots and lots of fun. For example, the Psalm Sofer. Paskin's a really fascinating thing about whether you keep 2 days Yontif in Israel. Because he just could not imagine that a particular Rishon had a text of the Gemara that was missing one letter, which reverses the meaning of the Gemara. When you just look at it, and so it's a Ravan. I looked up every edition of the Ravan that had been printed by the time of the Psalm Sofer. None of them have that letter in it. But the Psalm Sofer put it in, because he assumed that the Rishon had the Gersa of the Gemara. And so the whole meaning of everything is reversed. There are many, many cases where we have original sources of things the Beis Yosef had, and we can suggest that the Beis Yosef didn't have the best Gersa of things we have. Same with Rav Moshe. On the other hand, like the Taz and the Aruch Lener and Pishnayim, Rav Moshe's Tshuva so often right. So often where you want to be. So hopefully I will, in the next few days, I'll publish an article about Rav Moshe's understanding of the Cheren Rabbeinu Gershom, in which he says very clearly the purpose of the Cheren Rabbeinu Gershom is to create real equality between men and women. Rav Moshe says, the purpose of the Cheren Rabbeinu Gershom that doesn't let you divorce women against their will is to create equality between men and women. And he quotes that from a Rush. But he doesn't quote it from the Rush directly. He quotes it from a Rush quoted by the Chelkas Mechokek. If you look at the Tshuva of the Rush, it might not mean that. But I really like it. Maybe. Does it matter? Yes. So, Tariya.
Would we need, I guess, can we change the halakha based on that one? That the Gersa was incorrect.
Yeah. And not, you know, not even talking about Girsa and the Gemara, right? That's already controversial. But Girsa and Rishonim. Rav Shechter is very radical about this. Rav Shechter says yes. And you have to not only can you, but you have to. As in many things, Rav Shechter is much more radical than I am. So I'm just raising the question. The part of the reason Rav Shechter says this probably because he thinks it happens a lot less often than I do. And it might very well be that, right, that the more often you think it happens, the less likely you are to think that to think it should change the halacha. All right, other questions? Well, that is exactly an hour, and my hope is that if the questions aren't now, that there are lots and lots and lots of questions, and so you'll email me, and we'll all have occasion to learn together lots in the future. Thank you for listening and for getting the right answer. There you go. Come learn.
Thank you.
You're welcome.